Well, Horst, thanks for joining us this second day of January 2026. And before we get into today's message, let me remind you once again of our consecrated prayer this Sunday evening, January the 4th at 7 p.m. Go to our website, challengeministries.com. Click on listen at the top of the page, then drop down and click on 24/7 streaming. At 10 minutes to 7, I'll start playing music so you can prepare your heart to pray. Then at 7 p.m., I'll announce the first item for prayer. Give you some 7 to 8 minutes to pray that item of prayer while I play music softly in the background. Then I will close that item of prayer with prayer, announce the next item for prayer. In 50 minutes, we'll cover 5 major issues facing our nation and the nations of the world today. Then we'll take the last 10 minutes of that 1 hour together and pray for you, your concerns, your burdens, and your problems. That is this coming Sunday evening, January the 4th, 2026. Please make a note right now to join us in this contrary prayer. Now let's go to today's message once again. Sinners saved by grace, and be blessed as you listen. Let's get our Bibles today and open them to Romans chapter 10. I'd like to look at verses 12 through 21. I've entitled this Sinners Saved by Grace because we must never forget where we come from. We must never forget how we got where we are through Jesus Christ. So when we stop and look at the title to the message, Sinners Saved by Grace, not saved by involvement in religious activities, not saved because our mom and our dad were Christians, but we, it's a 101 thing. Each and every individual ever born has to deal with God one-on-one. Did you hear me? Each and every individual ever born has to deal with God one-on-one. No religious organization can bestow salvation on a lost soul, on a sinner. No matter of good works, no matter how much, no matter how many good works, those will not give us entrance into the kingdom of God. No. Salvation is a sovereign, selective work of God, and it is rooted eternity past. Did you hear me? It is rooted in eternity past. God knew when he created man was going to sin. He knew that man would be separated from him by that sin. He knew that Adam and Eve would sin. He knew they would produce children then with sin natures. And going forward from there, every human being that ever came out of a womb came out with a sin nature. It didn't take very long to reveal they had a sin nature, even as a very, very young child. But God also had a purpose. He had a plan. He had a plan whereby sinful man could be reconciled to holy God. God knew from eternity past who would believe and receive, and who would not believe and receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior. God knew from eternity past every expression of religious life that would seek to deceive individuals into thinking that if you belong to our system of religion, if you do what we tell you to do, the way we tell you to do it, when we tell you to do it, if you dress the way we tell you to dress, if you do exactly what we tell you to do, then you're going to be received into heaven. That's a lie out of hell. No, you must be born again. You must be born again. You must believe and receive. You must believe in your heart of hearts that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God in the flesh. He became his own sacrifice for the sins of all who would believe. And then you have to be willing to not only believe, but to receive. Now, God will empower and enable anyone who is willing to believe. God will enable them and empower them to believe. God will enable and empower anyone who is willing to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He will enable them, empower them to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You have to understand this. From start to finish, it is a sovereign work of God. Let me repeat that. From start to finish, it is a sovereign work of God, and it is available to all who will receive it. Did you hear me?
It is available to any and all who are willing to be willing to receive it. It's not deserved. I don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve salvation. I'm not worthy that Christ should have gone to the cross for me. You're not worthy that Christ should have gone to the cross for you. So we don't deserve it. What we really deserve is anathema. We deserve to be separated from God. We deserve eternal punishment because of who we are, what we were, what we said, what we did, what we were. But we have to understand this. A relationship with God as a child of God is not deserved, and it cannot be earned. You cannot jump through enough religious hoops to earn a right relationship with God. You can't do it. It cannot be earned. Now, contrary to what many religions teach, and many religions teach that you can earn a right relationship with God, that, my friend, is a lie out of hell. You cannot earn a right relationship with God. No, you can only receive a right relationship with God, and that right relationship with God can only be received in and through the Lord Jesus Christ as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ saying, I am a sinner, and I want to be born again. I want to be saved. I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. And then once you get there, it must be received in simple, childlike faith. Did you hear me? It has to be received. Salvation, a right relationship with God, has to be sealed, has to be received in simple, childlike faith. You can't earn it. You can't inherit it. You can only receive it. And you can only receive it in simple, childlike faith by believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he went to the cross, that on that cross he became everything that God hated, because on that cross he became sin. He took upon himself the sins of every individual who would ever receive and believe in him. He took upon himself the sins of the most despicable kind. He took not only the little white lie, we call it, but he took the sins of the sodomite. He took the sins of the transgenderism. He took the sins of the harlot, the whore. He took the sins of the whatever, put your own name on it. He took upon himself the sins of everyone. My sins alone were enough to put him on the cross. And when you take all of our sins collectively, corporately together, yours, mine, when you put all those sins, now think about what I'm saying. I have taught this and taught this and taught this, but I'm telling you, there are people sitting in church every week of the world who themselves do not really truly fully understand what I'm about to say. Christ Jesus, who knew no sin, took upon him the sin of every type, of every kind, of every individual who would be willing to believe in him, receive him as Lord and Savior, submit and surrender to his lordship in their life. He took upon himself their sins regardless of what kind of sin it was. I mean from the most despicable, depraved sin you can name, from the most despicable, depraved, wicked, horrible, ugly, nasty sin that you can name, he took that upon himself. And he became that sin so that those of us who are and were in that type of lifestyle could be born again, have our sins forgiven, our past forgotten, and become new creations in Christ Jesus. But so many today are trying to earn it. It cannot be earned. Let me say this to you very, very carefully and very, very distinctly. It cannot be earned. It can only be received. Salvation is a free gift of God to all who are willing to believe and receive. It cannot be earned. It must be received in simple, childlike faith. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 2, talking about this, he made this point very clear. Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Did you get that? Listen to this again, beginning in Matthew chapter 18, verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Notice two things. Converted from your sinful lifestyle to a spiritual lifestyle. That does not mean you won't sin anymore. It just means that one who's been converted, you've recognized you're a sinner. You've recognized Christ as a Messiah. You came to Christ confessing you were a sinner, asking Christ by faith to come into your heart, be your Lord, be your Savior, and then become as little children, as a little child. You see, there are different levels of spiritual growth once you're born again. You have to come through different levels of spiritual growth, starting with the infant stage as a spiritual infant. Then you come into the little child stage, and then you come into the little older child stage, and finally you make it up to the intermediate child stage. Then you make it into the early or late teen-year child stage. It is stages. And so many of the people of God do not understand that they must come through in order to walk in the fullness of the Spirit, in order to be for God, all God wants them to be salt and to be light. They have to come through these different levels of spiritual maturity, spiritual growth. So as we come into today's message, beginning with Romans chapter 10 and verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Did you get that? Did you get that? For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. Now, stop and think about this with respect to the children of God. The children of God come from every race, gender, nationality. None of that is a factor in becoming a child of God. Neither the race, nor the gender, nor the nationality. None of that is a factor in becoming a child of God. One becomes a child of God by simply believing the Word of God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, that his is the only name given unto heaven whereby men may be saved, and they come to him in simple childlike faith, confessing themselves to be sinners and saying, Jesus, I'm a sinner, but I want to be born again. I want my sins forgiven. I want my past forgotten. And so that's the way we come to God through Christ Jesus. All believers share this in common. We all got to the same place the same way. We all became children of God through that same process, that same identical process. You have to understand this. All are sinners. Some of us as Christians, we've been born again, yes. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus, yes, but we still sin. The Word of God says if you say you have no sin, you deceive yourselves and the truth is not in you. So we are all sinners, but the difference is this. Those of us who have been born again, we are sinners saved by grace. Did you get that? We are sinners. Yes, we still sin. As believer priest, as soldiers of the cross, we still sin many times every day. Sometimes it's not a very outward, overt kind of sin. Sometimes it's not a great display of sin. Sometimes it's nothing more than the attitude. Sometimes it's nothing more than the thought life. How many times per day do you suppose that you entertain thoughts that quench and grieve the Spirit of God? How many times a day do you suppose that you entertain thoughts about other people, against other people, even about God himself? How many times a day do you suppose that you embrace an ungodly, unholy thought? And then how many times a day do you suppose that you respond to that ungodly attitude, that ungodly act? How many times a day? And you don't stop every time and say, oh, Lord, I just sinned. I just had a sinful thought. I just had a profane thought. I just had an ugly thought. I was just judgmental. I was critical of that person. I was judging that person. Oh, God, I just sinned. We don't do that, do we? No, we don't. Unless we are really, truly sensitive to the Holy Spirit, we're not going to do that. We need to become sensitive, but even then, attitudes, reactions, responses. Oh, it may not be going down to the local pub and downing a quart of something, or it may not be going to the racetrack and gambling, or it may not be going to bed with a prostitute or whatever, but sin is sin. And when Christ went to that cross, he had to take upon himself every single solitary sin that every human being ever born who was born again would have to, that sin had to be put to death in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, they couldn't be born again. That's, you see, sin has to die. Sin has to die. And that, my friend, once again, is why Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross so that my sins and your sins, when we confessed those sins as Christ into our heart, those sins were put to death in Christ. Then going forward from that point in time, as we sin, acknowledge the sin, confess the sin, that sin as well is put to death in Jesus Christ, which is why I keep telling you, keep your sin list short. Keep your sin list short, meaning this, acknowledge when you sin. You're going to sin sometimes, you won't catch it right away. But and some of you are not yet to that place in your walk in sanctification, in your process of sanctification, when you recognize certain things to be sin. But the more sensitive you become to the Holy Spirit, the more sensitive you become to the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the impressions of the Holy Spirit, as you grow from level to level to level to level. You're doing things today. Many of you are doing things. You're watching things on TV. You're participating in things. You're participating in conversations that as you continue to mature spiritually, you will no longer have anything to do with. Friend, that is what sanctification is all about. And you have to understand, I've been pushing this very hard in recent weeks because I want you to really get this down. Yes, you are sanctified, meaning this, you are set apart for God. When you were born again, when you admitted you were a sinner, when you received Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were sanctified. Now that you've been sanctified, you must now come through the different levels of sanctification. And it's not a cakewalk. It's not a cakewalk. Trust me. Trust me. I'm coming through the same levels you have to come through. We all, each and every one of us who has a child of God, we have to come through the same levels of sanctification. Each and every one of us, regardless of our position in the body of Christ, we each have to come through the same levels of sanctification. Once again, all sinners are saved by grace. I am a sinner saved by grace. Yes, I still sin. But praise God, my sins are put to death in Christ Jesus. And when I recognize I have sinned, I confess that sin. That's all it takes, folks. Just acknowledge you sinned. Confess the sin. Ask for forgiveness. Just understand when you have sinned. All are sinners. We're all saved by grace, those of us who know Christ as our Savior. Now, Romans 10:13. For whosoever, are you getting this? For whosoever, the Word of God says, shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever, every whoremonger, every prostitute, every drug addict, every sodomite, every whatever, put your own name on it. We're all sinners, and until we are born again, and then we are still sinning, but we're no longer sinners in the sense that we are sinners without Christ. We are sinners saved by grace. Every child of God, from the Pope on down, from the greatest preacher, the greatest evangelist, the greatest apostle, the greatest prophet, we're all sinners. We sin. We may not want to admit we sin, but we do. In our thought life, reactions, responses, we sin. And once again, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved, regardless of the depth and type of the sinful lifestyle, regardless of the length of time in that lifestyle, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, regardless of what kind of lifestyle you're in, regardless of how long you have been in that lifestyle, regardless of how despicable and depraved and wicked and sinful that lifestyle is, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be born again, have their sins forgiven, have their past forgotten, be adopted by God as one of his own children, have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and from that point on have access to the throne of God, regardless of the depth and the type of the sinful lifestyle before coming to Christ. Once you come to Christ, and it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long you were in that ungodly, unholy lifestyle. Once you recognize, I'm a sinner. I am a sinner, but I'm going to go to Christ. I'm going to confess I'm a sinner. I'm going to ask him to come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. I'm going to submit and surrender to his Lordship in my life. Now, you see, the entire family of God is made up of sinners saved by grace. Did you catch that? The entire family of God, all of us, the entire family of God is made up of sinners saved by grace. Friend, on that cross, Christ Jesus took upon himself the sin of every sinner who ever lived who was willing to be born again. For those who were willing to be born again, he took their sins upon himself regardless of how despicable, how ugly, how ungodly, how unholy the sin was. He took it upon himself. The entire family of God is made up of sinners saved by grace from every expression. Please hear me. From every expression of wicked, sinful, perverted lifestyles the mind can imagine. Friend, do you realize that the body of Christ, the church, when I say the church, I mean that group of people who have been purchased by the blood of Christ. I'm talking about people who have been born again. Do you realize that every expression of wicked, sinful, perverted lifestyle the mind can imagine, those of us who are in the body of Christ, now we were at different levels, not all of us participated in the same sins, but the body of Christ has in it those who had the most wicked, sinful, perverted lifestyles the mind can imagine. You cannot imagine the depth and the depravity and the wickedness of the sins of some of those who've been born again. And now they're new creations. Their sins have been forgiven because their sins were put to death in Christ Jesus when they come to Christ as sinners requesting salvation. You understand this? Some more so than others. Now, we've got people in the body of Christ who never really got into deep, deep sin, but they were sinners nonetheless. They were sinners nonetheless. They didn't sin as openly. They were not sinning some of the perversion that we find others sinning in the body of Christ. They did not live that kind of lifestyle, but they sinned. Ungodly thoughts, ungodly actions, ungodly attitudes, whatever it may have been. But in the body of Christ, there are some who were more sinful than others, but yet we were all sinners. And we're all just sinners saved by grace. Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is in the body of Christ. Jesus cast 7 devils out of that woman. We don't know what they were, but they were affecting her lifestyle. I can promise you that. She had a wicked, 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 sinful lifestyle. And I'm talking to some people today. Your lifestyle is wicked, you know that. You have a sinful lifestyle, you know that. And you try to hide it many times. And we got people sitting in church. We have people sitting in church. We have people serving in the church who are still involved in a very heavy, sinful lifestyle. It's done many times in secrecy, but it's there. I've been around it too long, folks. I know what I'm talking about. Some more than others. Some more than others. What about the thief on the cross? Remember that thief on the cross that was crucified when Christ was being crucified? 2 thieves, one on either side. One said to him, look, if you're rid of the Messiah and you have all the power that we hear that you have, well, take yourself down from that cross and take us down as well. But what that thief didn't understand was he was hanging on that cross. Hear me carefully. Hanging on that cross, Jesus Christ was the sinless, willing blood sacrifice of God the Father for every ungodly, unholy sinner that would ever repent of their sins and ask Christ into their heart to be their Lord and be their Savior. Did you hear me? Understand this. Hanging on that cross, Jesus Christ took upon himself the sins of the most wicked, sinful lifestyle you can imagine. He took that sin of those sinners upon himself and put those sins to death in himself so that the individual who repented of their sins, who came to Jesus saying, yes, I'm a sinner, and I'm repenting of my sin. I'm sorry for my sin. I want my sins to be forgiven. I want to be born again. I want to become a new creation in you, Lord Jesus. That's why he took those sins upon himself, so that those of us could come to him, confessing our sins, asking him in childlike faith, in simple childlike faith, come into my heart, be my Lord, and be my Savior. Mary Magdalene, I have no idea what kind of lifestyle she had, but we know that Jesus cast 7 demons out of her. We know that. The thief on the cross, only God in heaven knows what he'd been involved in. Only God in heaven knows what that thief had been involved in. Was he a murderer? A rapist? I mean, what was he? What was he? We don't know. But the Roman government had decided he deserved execution. He was nailed to a cross. He was going to hang on that cross and die. And in all of his pain, in all of his misery, he turned to Jesus. He heard the other thief mocking Jesus. But he himself looked and listened. And he saw something different about Jesus. And so he turned his pain-ridden body and his head toward Jesus and said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And what did Jesus say? This day you shall be with me in paradise. In other words, you're not going to hang on this cross several days before you die. You're not going to hang on that cross in agony for several days before you die. You're going to die today. I'm going to die today. And with your last heartbeat, you're going to be in glory. You're going to be admitted into heaven without baptism, without church membership. Now, don't get me wrong. I believe in baptism. Of course, the Bible teaches it. And I think they're given a chance. But we had people in Pearl Harbor, and we've had people since then, that in the last closing moments of their lifestyle, of their life, they remembered what they had heard about the gospel, and they knew they were dying. And they cried out to God, have mercy on me, a sinner, save my soul, and a merciful, loving God. I have no doubt we had hundreds, maybe thousands at Pearl Harbor that were born again in the dying moments of their life and went to glory. This thief, they never had a chance to be baptized. How many, suppose you're in church and you receive Christ as your Savior, and going home from church, you're in a car accident and you die. Just like that thief, you're still in glory. Now, I'm a firm believer. You see, baptism is a public expression. Baptism is a public declaration. I have recognized myself as a sinner. I have recognized Jesus Christ as the Messiah. I have recognized him as the sinless, willing blood sacrifice of God the Father on the cross. And I have received him as my Lord and Savior. I'm not ashamed of him. I am being publicly baptized as a public declaration, as a public confession that I, as a sinner, have received Christ Jesus as my Savior into my heart. My sins are now forgiven, my past is forgotten, and I am a new creation in Christ Jesus, and I am making that declaration in and through my baptism. You have to understand this. The body of Christ, you hear me now, the true church. You see, the true church is made up of blood-bought, blood-washed people, those who have been born again. Now, there's any number of religious organizations out there, and they call themselves churches, but they're not. They have a false doctrine. They present a false means of being reconciled to holy God. They have their own little practices and their own little teaching, but they were created in hell. And they were created in hell to deceive so that Satan could destroy those who fell into their trap. You have to understand this. Every type and class of sinner, we've had people of every type, of every class of sinners, receive Christ and be born again, become new creations. They become new creations. Why? Because they were willing to believe. They were willing to believe the Word of God. They were willing to believe the gospel. They were willing to believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, and that he was slain before the foundation of the world for those who would believe and receive. All who were willing to believe. Those who are willing to receive the love of God. Did you hear me? Those who are willing to receive the love of God, those willing to believe the Word of God, believe the gospel. Folks, do you understand? And I'm not being mean or ugly, but I want you to understand, why do you think Satan has been so busy engineering so many systems of religion in order to deceive, in order to ultimately destroy those who bought into that false system of religion? Once again, what did Jesus say? You must be born again. What does it mean to be born again? Once again, you have to acknowledge that you're a sinner. Just acknowledge, Jesus, I'm a sinner. And then in acknowledging that you're a sinner, simply ask him, Lord, would you be my Lord and my Savior? Would you come into my heart? Would you fill me with yourself, with your spirit? Would you forgive me for my sins? Would you have my name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Would you forgive me for my sins? And I want to be a new creation, Jesus. I don't want to continue in the lifestyle I'm in. I want to be a new creation. I want my sins forgiven, my past forgotten. I want to be known as a child of God. When you make that kind of declaration like this thief on the cross, he was willing to believe. He heard everything the other thief said. He heard how Jesus responded to and he to the punishment. He heard Jesus forgiving those who were crucifying him. He heard Jesus praying for those who crucified him and hanging on that cross. He said, there's something different about this man. He must be the Messiah. I've heard there is a Messiah. I've heard there was a Messiah coming. This must be the Messiah. No man could put up with what he's putting up with. No man could endure what he's enduring. No man could do what he's doing and pray for those who are doing that to him unless he is a Messiah. And I think so much of the church fails to understand the Word of God that says, he who knew no sin became sin, that we might become the sons of God. He took upon himself every sin of every individual, every sinner who came to him confessing their sins and requesting to be born again. He took upon himself their sin. I don't care how wicked, how filthy, how nasty, how lewd, no matter what it was, Christ Jesus took that sin upon himself, which is why on the cross he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father could not look on Christ the Son, because on that cross, Christ the Son had become everything that God hated. He had taken upon himself the sins of every individual of every type, of every description that would ever come to him, asking him to come into their life, be their Lord and their Savior. And therefore, God the Father could not respond to his cry. Who is willing to believe? Who among us today, who listening today, is really, truly willing to believe, to receive the love of God? Do you realize that what it means to be born again? To be born again means that you're willing to receive the love of God, that you're willing to receive the forgiveness of God, that you're willing to acknowledge that you need the love of God, that you want the love of God, that you need the forgiveness of God. Have to understand this. Hear me carefully. I'm going to make a very, very strong statement. Hell will have its share of religious sinners. Oh, yeah. And I put that in quotes, religious sinners, quote, unquote. The world is full of religious sinners. Many of them are going to services, they're involved in religious activities. They're pretty faithful in their attendance to these religious activities, but they've never been born again. So what they are is they're involved in religious activities, but they are religious sinners. Now, hell, as I said, will have its share. Hell will have its share of religious sinners, but heaven will be filled with repentant sinners. There's a world of difference between a religious sinner and a repentant sinner. Hell will have its share, will be filled with religious sinners. Many religious sinners will be there. Heaven will be filled with repentant sinners, those who recognize they were sinners, as Christ in the heart, were born again. Now we come to Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You see, that's the whole purpose of preaching. The first purpose of preaching is to reach sinners, to reach those who are lost, reach those who are one heartbeat from hell, reach those who their next heartbeat could be their last heartbeat, and if they do not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, their last heartbeat would see them go to hell. With their last heartbeat, they would be in hell. So the purpose of preaching is to warn them. That's what I'm doing today. I'm warning you. You may be religious, but if you haven't been born again, you're one heartbeat from hell. You're one heartbeat from hell. And then you see the purpose of preaching is to see people born again. See people believe, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then living a Christ-honoring lifestyle. The purpose of a Christ-honoring lifestyle is to be a witness. What is the purpose of the witness? You who've been born again, now you were born again to be a witness. A witness to who? A witness to what? You see, every believer, listen to me carefully now, every believer has a testimony. Now, yours may not be as colorful, and yours may not be as strong, and may not be as widespread as others, but if you've been born again, you have a testimony. There was a time you were not born again. What kind of person were you before you were born again? And you don't have to go into a lot of detail about that, but the point I'm trying to make here is that the purpose of a Christ-honoring lifestyle is so that you, yourself, can be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. In your lifestyle, just in your lifestyle, in the place where you work, in the place where you live, the things you will be a part of, the things you won't be a part of. There's conversations you'll be a part of, there's conversations you won't be a part of. There's things you'll respond to, the things you will not respond to. Every believer has a testimony. Now, your testimony may not be as wild and as wicked as some, but you have a testimony. You have a testimony of what you were like before you come to Christ. You have a testimony. Have you ever examined your testimony? Do you share your testimony? Those of you who've been born again, everyone, each one of us, I have a testimony. I'm not proud of a lot of it, and a lot of it I wouldn't talk about, but I have a testimony. I think it's enough sometimes to say I know what it was to be without Christ. I know what it was to be in the world. I knew what it was to be caught up in the world. I knew what it was to be involved in a lot of the world activities, not all the world's activities, but enough of the world activities that I know what the world's all about. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. We don't brag about our sinful past. We don't brag about the wickedness that we were involved in, but we were there. We were there. But then even that individual who never was involved in the depths of depravity or the depths of sin or great sin still was a sinner needing Christ Jesus, regardless of what their lifestyle was. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Some lived more wicked lifestyles than others. Some of us thought we were just professional, polite people, but yet we were in sinful lifestyles. But when you come to Christ, that's all forgiven, is put to death in the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm saying again, every believer has a testimony. You have a testimony. You have a testimony about what God has done for you. And are you willing for God to do through you what God wants to do through you? Are you willing to say to God, I appreciate what you've done for me, and I'm willing for you to do with me whatever you choose to do with me. I want to be a living testimony for you. Every believer, regardless of how innocuously void that testimony may be in some respects, we are all sinners saved by grace. We're all sinners saved by grace. Each and every one of us who've been born again, we're all sinners saved by grace. And the Lord wants us to share that testimony. We can identify with some people who themselves are still in a sinful lifestyle. Many of us can identify with them to one degree or another. And then you have those in the body of Christ. Hear me carefully. Hear me carefully. You've got people today in the body of Christ who hates everything they ever said, ever did, ever was. And they can identify. We got people within the body of Christ who can identify with those who are today in the most ungodly, unholy, wicked, sinful, lewd, nasty, ugly lifestyles. Why? Because they were there. They were there. But then somebody loved them enough to share the gospel with them. Or the Holy Spirit drew them into a service at one time, and they heard the gospel, and they were convinced and convicted by the Holy Spirit, and they came to Christ. As sinful and ugly and dirty and ugly as they were, they came to Christ saying, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve salvation. I don't deserve to be adopted into the family of God, but I want to be, and I'm willing to be. And they were born again. Born again. And then begins the process. Once again, listen to me carefully. Then once again begins the process of sanctification. I keep telling you, don't give up on yourself, because God's not going to give up on you. And as you come through the process of sanctification from level to level to level, you're still going to be surprised at some of the things that you find in your life. You're going to be surprised at some of your reactions. You're going to be surprised at some of your responses. No, it says trying to ignore it. It's reality, folks. It is reality. Being born again doesn't make you perfect. It makes you forgiven. It means that your sins have been forgiven, and it means that going forward, every sin that you ever commit, you confess that sin, it is forgiven. Why? Because Christ reached back into eternity past and pulled all the sins of those who received him into his own body and took their sins upon himself. Then he reached into the future, in our day. In the past, he pulled all those sins that had been put to death in those animals to himself. He embraced them and put those sins to death in himself, because every one of those sacrificial animals died with their eyes on Calvary. And then he reached into the future. God's never learned anything new. When you came to Christ, when I came to Christ, that did not surprise God. He knew before the foundation of the world who would and who would not believe and receive. So, for those who would, he reached into the future, and he pulled all the sins, each and every sin that you would ever commit, have ever committed, he drew that to himself and embraced it. And that is why, hanging on that cross, he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? In those moments on that cross, having taken upon himself the sins of those before the cross and the sins of those of us after the cross, drew them to himself, became sin, and God the Father could not even look on him as he hung there with all of that sin. Some of us were among the nicest of sinners you'll ever meet. Some of you today are. Yeah, really. Some of us were one of the nicest sinners you will ever meet. And you've got people today. You've got individuals listening to this broadcast. You're one of the nicest sinners anybody could ever meet. Oh, I mean, you're cordial, you're nice, you're polite, you just got all this stuff going for you. You're just one of the nicest sinners anybody could ever hope to meet. Many of us were there, weren't we? We were just the nicest, nicest sinners. You see, that's why I say every believer has a testimony. You have a testimony, friend. You have a testimony as to what you were, where you were, what you were involved in, what you were doing. And you don't have to go into all the nasty, ugly details. But you can just let people know, I understand. I was a captive myself. I was a sinner. I was a child of the devil. And the works of the devil I would do. You don't have to go into all the nasty, ugly, pornographic, filthy details. But you can say it just enough to let that other person know, I know where you are. I know what's going on in your life. I understand it. I understand you as a sinner because I was one. And I've been saved by the grace of God. We were all, whatever, put your own name on it. I mean, this message can get ugly, folks. We were all in different lifestyles of sin. Some of us were nice sinners. We were polite sinners. We were your everyday nice, ready-to-meet, easy-to-meet sinner, but we were nonetheless sinners. Regardless, we were still sinners. We have others in the body of Christ who were in the depths of depravity. They were in the very depths of wickedness and ungodliness and unholiness. They were in the depths of every ungodly, unholy thing. Some of us were deeper in sin than others. Some of us were not as deep in sin as others, but we were all sinners. And now that we've been born again, we're what? Sinners saved by grace. Just sinners saved by grace. Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Look at what the Word of God says in Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? God has to do the sending. I'm going to say a couple of ugly things. Okay? Ready? I'm going to say a couple of ugly things. God in the flesh, Jesus the Christ, went to the cross and took upon himself the sins of each and every individual who would ever believe and receive. And out of that bunch of sinners, out of that bunch of sinners who became born again, he chose preachers. He chose ministers. He chose choir directors, Sunday school teachers, deacons, elders. Out of that conglomerate of sinful individuals, he chose individuals to serve in the church. But notice this. How shall they preach unless they are sent? We've got religious organizations. We have religious organizations that have multiplied hundreds of thousands involved in that religious organization that is nowhere nearer to God than anything. They're anathema to God because they're preaching a false gospel. They are preaching a false gospel. They're saying if you do this our way and do that our way, then you're going to be right with God. If you just get christened, if you just get baptized, you're going to be right with God. That is a lie out of hell. Baptismal waters cannot save your soul. Only the blood of Jesus Christ. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you from your sin. Not all that hold the position as a religious leader in one of these religious organizations, not all were sent. They weren't sent. Or are sent. Not all of them. We got people living and filling religious positions in a different expression of religious life who themselves are children of Satan. They're one heartbeat from hell. I'm talking about people in religious organizations who are one heartbeat from hell because they're a child of the devil. They're involved in a religious organization, but they have never been born again. Never born again. The scripture speaks to those who are sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. What is the glad tidings of good things? How would you identify that? How would you explain that? Let me explain it to you. Let me read it to you again. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. What is the gospel of peace? What is it? Here is what the gospel of peace is. The gospel of peace is the message of how sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. Be born again. That is the gospel of peace. The message about how sinful man, no matter how sinful he may be, can be reconciled to holy God. And let's face it, folks, we're all one heartbeat from eternity. Hear me carefully. I start moving to wrap it up. We're all one heartbeat from eternity. And you don't know when your last heartbeat's coming. I don't know when my last heartbeat's coming. None of us know. But we're all one heartbeat from eternity. And with the last heartbeat, friend, it is sealed forever. There's no purgatory. The Catholic Church teaches a purgatory, but there is no purgatory. It's not in the Bible. If it was in the Bible, I could find it. I could find it, but it's not in the Bible. So there is no such thing as purgatory. No. The rich man died and went to hell. Lazarus died, went to glory. Jesus told that himself. He told that himself. The rich man died, and the split second he died, he was in hell. Lazarus died and went to glory. In the bosom of Abraham, if you will. Folks, understand, this is life and death. This is eternity. We're talking about your eternal state. We're talking about where you are going to spend eternity, either in hell or heaven, and there's no intermediate state. There is no intermediate state. You can't find it in the Bible. It is not there. The gospel of peace, the message of how sinful man can be reconciled to holy God. Romans 10:16. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Not all who hear believe. Did you hear me? Not all who hear believe. Not all who hear receive. Not all who hear obey. So let's spread that out. Not all who hear believe what they hear, receive what they hear, obey what they hear. They don't do it. I have preached to no doubt how many people who heard what I said. They heard. They did not believe. They did not receive. They did not obey. One heartbeat from hell. Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see, Satan understands that spiritual truth. This is the word of God. So then faith in Christ Jesus, faith to be born again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Satan understands that, which explains why he has worked so hard to deceive. That explains why we have so many systems of religion. We have religious systems full of false doctrine. I could name them. You're around them every day. But we have, and I'm not pushing any denomination. No, no. The kingdom of God. That's what I'm preaching. That's what I'm declaring. The kingdom of God. I want every person on the sound of my voice to be born again, to be received into heaven when they die, to be a part of the eternal kingdom of God. But we have false religious systems that are filled with false doctrine that are deceiving hundreds and thousands, and they will die and go to hell because of the false religious systems and the false doctrine. Romans 10:18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Have they not heard the truth? Yes, the gospel has been preached to that known part of the world. Yes, the gospel has been preached. Preached but not always accepted. See, I understand people going to listen to me but not accept what I say. I understand that. But that's between you and God. My job, my duty, my calling is to declare the word. I'm going to declare the word. You can receive it or you can neglect it. Preaching is not always accepted. Sometimes the word is preached but not always accepted. It was that true then? It's true now. And yes, even the gospel has been perverted. The gospel has been perverted by different systems of religion then and now. Paul spoke to that issue in the church at Galatia. In Galatians 1:18, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than we have preached to you, let him be accursed, meaning let him die and go to hell. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Let him die and go to hell. Romans 10:19. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. God, speaking through Moses, told Israel. And as a matter of fact, he said this back in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 21. They have provoked me to jealousy by what is not God. They have moved me to anger by their foolish idols. But I will provoke them to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move them to anger by a foolish nation. I will make you jealous by bestowing my love on Gentiles. That's what he's saying to the Jews. I will make you jealous by bestowing my love on the Gentiles. He was declaring himself not to be the God of the Jews only, but as many Gentiles as would believe and obey. Did you hear me? He was declaring himself not to be the God of the Jews only, as many Gentiles as would believe and obey. Romans 10:20. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek me. Gentiles. That's who he's talking about. Gentiles. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. The Gentiles. There again. To Gentiles. He took the message to the Gentiles, not just to the Jews. Romans 10:21, but to Israel, he says, all day long, I have stretched out my hand to a disobedient and contrary people. Folks, in how many ways did Jehovah God manifest himself to Israel, beginning with deliverance from bondage in Egypt? In how many ways has he revealed himself to you, to me? In the everyday affairs and events of life, how many ways has he revealed himself to you and to me? Too numerous to identify. I speak from personal experience. I know. I've been there, as do many of you. Are you one of the elect? Are you? Are you one of those that God has known from eternity past would believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And receive Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, having accepted the fact of having been chosen before the foundation of the earth. Once again, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you a whosoever? Heavenly Father, take the message, I pray. Use it, I pray, as you will, to bring some lost soul to Christ and to comfort some who need comforting, who have already believed and received. This ask in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we get a chance to do this again, be blessed.